Amen. Let's turn to Colossians. We're in chapter 1 of Colossians. We're going to be beginning in verse 19 this morning. Colossians chapter 1, verse 19. Let me read it to you. It says, "For it pleased the Father that in him," meaning Jesus, "all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile," say that word with me, reconcile, a beautiful word, a glorious word, "to reconcile all things to himself by him, whether things on earth, whether things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross." With all that being said, we all say, amen. Last Sunday, we had such a wonderful service. Loved one people came to Christ and so forth. But you know, last Sunday, the verses that we covered, the clearest, greatest presentation of the supremacy of Christ found anywhere in the entire Bible. Written from a prison cell, no less, can you believe that? So Jesus, we know the supremacy of Christ. Not only has Jesus created all things, not only does Jesus sustain all things, not only are by him are all things, and by him all things consist, Jesus is the supreme sole head, not only of the universe, but of the church, amen? And we are the church. Praise the Lord for that. You know, the Bible says, if you look in verse 18 there, it talks about that in all things that Jesus might have the preeminence. In other words, have absolutely first place in all things, and he does, whether mankind believes it or not. Amen? Christ is all and in all, it says in chapter 3, verse 11. Now, with all that being said, let's just remember, false teachers, the Gnostics, they have invaded this little tiny church at Colossae, and they're trying to, of course, corrupt the members and take them away from Jesus. Now, with all that being said, the supremacy of Christ was under attack. They gave Jesus prominence, but they did not give him preeminence, okay? They didn't deny that Jesus was a God, not the God, but a God, but they did dethrone him from the place that he rightfully has and should have. Now, with all that being said, these false teachers, remember, they denied his humanity. They didn't believe that God came in the flesh. They denied his deity. Again, they didn't believe he was God. And not only that, they taught that Jesus, okay, you can have Jesus, but it's Jesus plus something else, or you're not really saved. Remember the Gnostics, the word gnosis means knowledge. And so they had this secret knowledge, this mystery knowledge that only they obtained, and they received it through angels or of course, fallen angels from the devil himself. They just didn't probably know that. And they were leading people astray. So this morning, let me read our key verse before we get into verse 19. In verse 20, it says this, "And by him," meaning Jesus the Son, "to reconcile all things to himself," or back to himself, back to God. It says, "By him, whether things on earth, heaven, and he made peace through the blood of his cross." Now, with all that being said, we begin this morning, and we're looking at what reconciliation really means, okay? Verse 19, "For it pleased the Father that in him," meaning in Jesus, "all," every bit of the fullness of God should dwell. So once again, you know what Paul does, like he's been doing through the scriptures, he's using favorite words that the Gnostics love. And see, if you don't have a good background of what the attack is consisting of, you don't really get a full grip on this incredible short epistle called Colossians. And so Paul, again, using all of the Gnostics' favorite words, and one of their favorite words, of course, was the word fullness. And this word, pleroma, in the Greek, means the literal, total fullness of all that God is, meaning that Jesus is. Does that make sense? Jesus is literally the complete fullness of God because Jesus is God. Amen? Jesus said, "If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. All that the Father does, Jesus does." All right? Now, but the Gnostics, again, they use that word, and they taught that the full, total, complete, all the powers, if you will, of God. They didn't dwell in Jesus, but they rested in like thousands and thousands of these lesser gods, or like lesser angels, if you will. And they were called, what's that word? Emanations, if you will. But they didn't believe that Jesus was God. They believed that he was a lesser god, and another god had to come, and another god, and another, and all these fallen angels to get you to God. Does that make sense? Isn't that confusing? It's very confusing to me too. So with all that being said, to the Gnostics, to these false teachers, Jesus was not the way. He was not the truth, okay? He was not the life. He was just another rung on the ladder to get up to God so you could be saved, which we know is false teaching. Now, with all that being said, Paul said absolutely all of the fullness of God, and he uses the word dwells in him. That word means permanent residence, okay? That's not something that's added unto Jesus. Jesus is God, amen? So with all that being said, so when that word dwell is used, Paul is saying that Jesus himself is the pleroma of God, or the fullness of God. He literally exhausts all that God is because he is God. Now, with all that being said, this verse 20 is a great verse and one that needs to be dwelt upon, loved one. It says, and by him to reconcile all things to himself. The word reconcile is one of the most important words in the Bible. We probably don't use that word enough, but we should. Let me give you a couple of definitions of what the Greek scholars say the word reconciliation or reconcile is. It says, reconcile is the restoration of a relationship of peace which has been disturbed. That's a nice. Let me give you another one. Reconciliation in Christian theology is an element of salvation that refers to the results of the atonement. Reconciliation is the end of the estrangement caused by original sin between God and humanity. Let me give you my definition, okay? Reconciliation means that there is a way back home. There is a way back to God the Father, amen? Oh, and that's what that word means, and don't ever forget that. Listen, when Adam and Eve, when they disobeyed God in the garden, when they trusted the wicked one, the serpent, and doubted God, remember what happened? You know what they did? They declared in their own way war upon God. And not only that, then they became enemies of God. Because they had walked away from God, walked away from the truth and so forth. And God had told them, don't eat of that fruit. The day that you eat of that fruit, you will die. And they did die, not in the flesh. They died spiritually, didn't they? Then later on, they died. Loved one, God didn't declare war on them, did he? What did God do? God immediately, he sought them out. After he found them and questioned them, talked to them, then what did he do? He killed, obviously, probably a lamb. Because he made sacrifices for them. Amen? And then whenever he put the flaming swords, the cherubim, there to guard the way unto Eden so they would never eat of the tree of life, who went out of the garden with Adam and Eve? God did. See, it was man's sin that did all of this. Reconciliation is one of the key words in the doctrine of salvation or being saved. And every way that we are saved, every important word in salvation, okay, is everyone is by the blood of Jesus. In other words, we were justified. That the moment that you came to Christ Jesus and said, Jesus, be the Lord of my life and save me, God made a judicial decision in heaven. He declared you as if you had never sinned, and he imputed over into your account, if you will, imputation, the perfect, sinless, spotless record of Jesus Christ. Amen? That was a one-time act, never ever to happen again. And then the moment that we were saved, something else happened. We were redeemed. All right? In other words, you were purchased by God. You were purchased with the blood of Jesus Christ, and you became his own. Never, it's like purchasing, because we were a slave of this world and a slave of sin and a slave to darkness and the devil. But Jesus bought us. So not only have we been justified, not only have we been redeemed, loved one, we have been adopted. Amen? The moment we ask Christ to be our Lord, what happens? His Spirit, the Holy Spirit, comes into our heart by where we cry, Abba, Father. His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. We are the daughters of God. And immediately after that, that adoption, where we leave and now we're truly sons and daughters, the next thing that happens, loved one, is that we have to realize that forgiveness takes place. All of our sins, they're as far as the east is from the way. Amen? But then something else happens that I don't know if the church even believes it. Not us, but a lot of the church. Let's put it that way. We have now received the reconciliation. In other words, can you believe this? God's not mad at us. You know what? We can be friends with God. Do you understand? Oh, listen, Ben, the lost, you know, and so forth, they're an enemy, but you can become a friend. That's a change in relationship. Now, listen, know this world that we live in, no matter who is in the White House, for example, no matter how many laws our Senate or the legislative branch or what that they pass, no matter how many treaties that a man may sign with other people, you understand? Listen, loved one, no. We're just talking about a reconciliation. You go down to Texas, we got a steel wall that's up, that's being built. You see what I'm saying along the Texas border? Is that reconciliation? No, that's not reconciliation. Listen, you know what? No person, no government, especially in the culture that we're in right now, no government, no person, no system of thought, no cancel culture, no defund the police, all no take down every statue. That doesn't matter. Do you understand? It's not going to help this world. It's not going to help this world at all. And it can never bring about what the entire world and the entire universe and every human being needs right now. And that is pure, perfect, total reconciliation with God. Do you understand? Only God can do that. Only Jesus can do that. So look at it. It says here, and again in verse 20, and by him to reconcile all things back to God. Meaning Jesus does that. And by him, whether things on earth, heaven, and having made peace through the blood of his cross. That is God's ultimate plan, is to completely reconcile all things, everything that there is, all things to himself through Jesus Christ our Lord. Listen, all things, remember last Sunday, all things began with Jesus. All things will end with Jesus. He made the first command, and then at his command, everything's going to fall right back into place. By him, everything is being held together. But God has a plan. Ephesians 1:10 says it. It says, in the dispensation of the fullness of times, in other words, when history comes to an end, that God, he might gather together in one, here it comes, all things, everything in creation in Christ, which are in heaven and on earth. Phillips' translation again says, I quoted this last Sunday, it says that in everything that exists in heaven and earth should find its perfection and fulfillment in him. It says all things, but here's what I want you to see now. Don't confuse all things with the false doctrine called universalism. That teaches that since God is going to reconcile all things to himself, everyone is finally going to be saved. That's not true, loved one. That's not true. No, listen, universal reconciliation is not universal salvation. You must be born again to receive the reconciliation. Does that make sense? You see, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, anyone in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things passed away. All things have become new. Listen carefully now. Now all these things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself, and he tells us how, through Jesus Christ. Reconciliation is an act of God, and Jesus is the agent, if you will, of our reconciliation. Now, who's the offending party, God or us? Who's guilty, God or us? Us, we're the ones, loved one. Did you know that reconciliation is really one-sided? God has done everything he can All we have to do is respond to what he has done. Amen? That's all that we have to do. And we do that by reaching out to Jesus. Now, it says again, verse 20, to reconcile all things back to God in the way through Jesus Christ. And then he says, things on earth. How do you view this planet that we live on? I don't remember Fort Worth, the highways being so trashy. I mean, you really need to, there's a system, I don't know what it's called, it's an app. It tells you when things are in the road. You know what? I can go driving at midnight and object in the road, da 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 da, you know. I mean, it's like never mind. It just upsets me. I mean, you just can't believe all the things. I mean, I could have brought a chair home last night, a ladder in the front bumper of some big car, and maybe a dead dog. You understand? I mean, it's wild out there, you know? Listen, it says things on earth. How important is that one word, reconciliation? Man, listen, it's one of the most important words in the Word of God. Why? Because when it says things on earth need to be reconciled, loved one, that means that we live on a cursed planet. Do you understand? We live on a fallen planet. It says all things need to be reconciled, not just human beings. Listen, the message that we have in God's Word, it tells everyone it has to do that with all things, the world, the universe, even heaven, all that we see is fallen. All of it. You know, when you look at a tree out there, that's not the way that tree is really supposed to look like. Do you understand? When we see the clouds, that's not really the way the clouds ought to look. Matter of fact, if you've been to Arizona lately, you can't see anything because of the dust and all the stuff. You know what I mean? Man, and then did you see all the dust that was in Fort Worth yesterday? Do you guys get out or anything? I mean, we're covered in dust. It's affecting all of us. Never mind. No, loved one, listen. All that we see is fallen. Everything that we see must be reconciled. You see, something has gone wrong with everything, and everything has to get right again. Does that make sense? Yeah. See, only the Bible tells us what's wrong. The government can't tell us what's wrong. People can't tell us what's wrong. Only the Bible can tell us what's wrong and what this world needs, and that is to be reconciled unto God. Listen, it says things on earth. Let me read about the things on earth, what creation is doing right now, and how they're waiting. Listen carefully. It says in Romans 8:19, for the earnest expectation, that's a great word. It's only one word in the Greek, loved one, and it means that creation is like stretching its neck and its head out. And it says it's eagerly waiting. Let me read it again. For the earnest expectation of creation, all of creation, eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God, for creation was subjected to futility. In other words, decay, frustration, and not willingly, not of its own accord. It says, but because of him, meaning God, who subjected it in hope. Now listen, everything that you see because of Adam's sin, no part of the world, no part of nature, not one part of it, exists the way it was before the fall. When Adam fell, everything fell with it. And the reason is because Adam gave his authority over to the devil. Does that make sense? Oh, listen, yeah, and creation, man, it's groaning because creation is cursed. Let me keep reading. It says, because creation itself also will be delivered, present tense, it's not delivered yet, but it will be set free from the bondage of corruption, all this decay. You know, you look out there and spring comes. And you know, and it's like, boy, there the whole earth, you know, winter's over and it's spring, and everything on this planet is trying to have rebirth. You know what I mean? And then it dies again. It never can stay that way because creation is messed up. He says, the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Now, this is speaking of the millennial reign when these things happen. For we know, not the world, but we, the believer, that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs, like a woman delivering a child, until now. Think about that. Do you ever look out there and go, creation is groaning? My trees are groaning. The birds, when they start singing, they're not really singing. They're singing a song of bondage. Does that make sense? They're not singing the song. You know, creation is waiting for freedom, just like we're waiting for freedom from this old body. Amen? Oh, listen. You know, listen, there were no thorns and thistles before the fall, right? Have you ever, when you were a young kid, probably not, most of you are probably city slickers, but do you remember when you're a kid and you ran out and all those big stickers? Oh, remember, what were they called? Something. It doesn't matter. They were huge. Oh, and remember how they would stick in your toes and, I mean, those were not in Eden. It's part of the curse. Do you understand? I mean, all that we see, you know, man never sweated on his brow until they left Eden. Do you understand? See, this everything we have is falling. Listen, bees, they're not supposed to sting you. Do you ever had a red wasp sting you? Oh, that is such pain, isn't it? Or a stinging scorpion. You know, I don't know if they're probably all dead now. I don't really know. You know, they're not. Don't tell me. No, but you know, think about it. Bees are not supposed to sting. A dog is not supposed to bite you. Do you understand? That's part of the curse. Animals, listen, before the fall, animals, were they killing one another? No, they weren't killing one another. Listen, whenever everything is reconciled, listen to what's going to happen. Isaiah 11:6. It says, the wolf also will lie down and dwell with the lamb. Hello. It says that the leopard will lie down with the young goat, the calf with the young lion, and the fatling together. Listen to this. Here it comes. Once reconciliation has happened on this crummy planet that we're on right now, it says the little child shall lead them. Can you believe that? That means be Lord over the animals. It says the cow and the bear, they're going to graze. Their young ones, they're going to lie down together. The lion will eat straw like the ox, and a nursing child will play by the cobra's hole. Hello. And the weaned child shall put his hand in the viper's den, and they shall not hurt nor destroy anything in all of my holy mountain. And here's the reason why. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. That, loved one, is called reconciliation. Amen? It says, now, not only things in earth, what in the world has to be reconciled? It says things in heaven. Does it ever blow you away when you read that? Lord, heaven, what in the world needs to be reconciled there? Where did sin begin? In heaven. Good word. No, it didn't begin on earth. It began in heaven, loved one. It all started with the one who's now, or in our text, behind the false teaching that's happening at Colossae. All of Satan's work, he was kicked out of heaven, you know that. All of Satan's work is for one thing. He wants to dethrone Jesus from every person, the church, all people. Listen. That's what he wants to do because he is a liar. And you know why? Because Satan wanted the throne of God. Remember that? He was perfect until iniquity, God says, was found in him. And then he and a third of his buddies were cast out of heaven altogether. And listen, when it comes to the devil, don't let anybody lead you astray. There is no hope for him. There is no reconciliation for him. He is going into the lake of fire. Amen? Yeah. Now, when it's talk about the things in heaven need to be reconciled, where is the domain of the wicked one and the wicked spirits right now? Where do they operate at? in the heavenlies. Remember, Ephesians 6 and following. Now, so that is going to be reconciled. That's going to be cleansed as well. But it's deeper than that. The Bible says in Hebrews 9:23, talking about heaven, it says it was necessary that the copy of the things in the heavens should be purified with these, meaning not purified with the blood of bull and goats, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than the blood of bull and goats. Why? Because the perfect sanctuary had to have a perfect offering, meaning that the blood of Jesus had to be applied in heaven. Think about that for a minute. See, this reconciliation is all things, loved one. The Bible is very clear. You know, when you think about what did Jesus do? Let me just read it. It says, but Christ came as a priest of good things to come with a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is not of this creation. Here it comes. But Jesus, what did he do? He came not with the blood of bull and goats, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once and for all, having obtained eternal redemption. Listen to me now. What did Jesus, if he entered with his own blood, what did he do with that blood? He poured it out on what? The mercy seat. He is the mercy seat who made propitiation for our sins. Inside the mercy seat, the Ark of the Covenant, remember the Ten Commandments, which we broke, the pot of manna that man despised, Aaron's rod that budded, despising the authority of God? No, and that blood covered all of it. It had to be cleansed. That's amazing, isn't it? It says there in verse 20 again, and having made peace, and this is the way he did it, through the blood of his cross. That's the means of reconciliation. Having made peace, the only way God makes peace is with the blood of Jesus. Amen? That's the only way. There's no absolutely no other way to have peace. The Bible tells us in Romans 5:1, it says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. How? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, the peace that we have is not a feeling always, okay? You can feel that, but it's not a feeling. It is a divine fact. We have peace right now because of Jesus Christ. We have peace with God. We have peace with God, our Father. You know what Jesus? The Bible says, Ephesians 2:14, that Jesus, he himself is our peace, and it only came through death. It says in Romans 5:10, for when we were enemies, we're not anymore, thank God, but when we were enemies of God, we were reconciled to God through, not our good works, not trying to be good enough or earning it. It says through the death of his son. He says, much more, having been, past tense, reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, we shall rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have right this minute, right now, the reconciliation. Let me give you another translation. It says, now we are God's friends again because of the death of Jesus. Aren't you glad that God's not our enemy? Aren't you glad that we're not an enemy of God? Aren't you glad that Jesus died for us and shed his blood for us and we have been reconciled? We have peace with God, and that peace can never be disturbed. It can never be taken away from you. It is permanent, ongoing, forever and ever and ever. Reconciliation means we have a way back. We have a way back to God the Father. Oh, loved one, there's nothing greater than that. And he says, and you, meaning you Colossians and us as well, it says, who once, now it's past tense, once were alienated, once were enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled. You know, Paul, I love Paul, the way he writes. He always uses the contrast. He loves to use the word once and now, you know, when he teaches or when he writes. And that's the way we were. You know, listen, That's the horrible position of every person on this planet without Christ Jesus. Man, listen, they are alienated. That word means they're cut off from God. They're strangers from God. I mean, they may have heard about God, may have heard about Jesus, but they don't know him at all. And they're not only alienated as strangers, they're alienated from what life really is. A person outside of Christ, you know what they do with life? They only experiment with life because they don't have spiritual life. They only have physical life. They're dead in trespasses and sins. And to be alienated means that you're a stranger. You're outside of the covenant. You're without hope and without God in this world, without Christ. Those are the saddest words we can speak. To be without Christ means that we're going to live, or the lost, as we used to be. We were living a life, loved one, of emptiness. Thank God we're not doing that anymore. And we used to be like the Colossians. We were once enemies of God, and enemies here in our mind. See, if God is not in your mind, then God cannot be in your actions. Does that make sense? And so what did the enemy of the mind produce? It produced wicked works, is what it says there. And then it says in verse 22, look what's happened about this reconciliation. It says, in the body of his flesh, through death, to present you, number one, holy, number two, blameless, number three, above reproach in his sight. In his sight, in God's sight. Listen, does God miss anything? Oh no, he doesn't miss anything at all. Listen, the body of flesh. Paul, again, he's using a word because of the Gnostics. See, they taught that Jesus didn't come in the flesh. If anyone who believes that is the Antichrist, amen? He did come in the flesh. He is the God-man. Now, with all that being said, he is reconciled, it says, in his body through death. In other words, he's put to death the enmity. We have peace with God now. God's not mad. His anger is not upon anyone. Do you understand? Listen, reconciliation means that you're now holy. Now you're set apart for God. Man, isn't that a wonderful thing? For the purposes and the plans of God. The word blameless means flawless, without blemish or faultless. But look at that word, above reproach. Listen to me now. That word, man, is incredible. It means we are beyond blameless. We are free from every charge. The word literally means we, the believer, who are in Christ and have now been reconciled to God, we are unchargeable. Does that make sense? In other words, no one can bring a charge against us. Satan might, the world might, your friends might, but the Bible says in Romans 8:33, who shall bring a charge against God's elect, it is God who justifies. Now listen carefully. Paul is not talking about sinless perfection, okay? Paul is not speaking about conduct here in these verses. He's speaking about our position in Christ. Justification is instant. Sanctification is progressive, isn't it? We go from glory to glory to glory into Christ's likeness. Now, there has never been and there never will be any Christian, no matter what they tell you, that is without blemish in their actual conduct. Amen? If that's you, I want you to pray for me after the service, all right? No, it's just not. This is our position in Christ. I'm so thankful that God made him sin, who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. I am thankful for that. I'm so thankful the Bible teaches about our position. 1 John 4:17, it says, as he is, as Jesus is, present tense, as he is in this world, so are we right now. As he is, so are we, because we are in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, there is now no condemnation, no judgment to those that are in Christ Jesus. Thank God for that. So this is our position. See, the Gnostics were promising a kind of perfection. Paul just said, listen, our standing is absolutely perfect in Christ Jesus. Not because of us, but because of him. Amen? Now, and you say, well, Bill, that sounds too good to be true. Well, yeah, but look at verse 23. It gives us the proof if you have been really reconciled to God. Watch this. It says, if, or literally, it says, should read, since indeed you continue in the faith. And it says, grounded. That's like a settled faith, a sure faith. And steadfast, that means your faith is established. Do you understand it? And are not moved away from the hope. Remember, that's not hope so. That's confident, sure, certain expectation from the hope of the gospel, meaning the true gospel, which you heard. Remember where they heard the gospel, who they heard it from? Epaphras, remember? He taught them the true gospel. The Gnostics were teaching the false gospel. He says, which was preached to every creature under heaven, or was literally underway from the great commission that Jesus gave them in the book of Acts. Now, he says, of which Paul, I became a minister. So we are not saved by continuing in the faith. We continue in the faith, which proves we are saved. Amen? Yeah, loved one, listen. Position, if we're truly saved, our position will always translate into practice. All right? Now, Jesus is not only the agent of reconciliation, his ambassadors, loved one, are ambassadors of reconciliation as well. Let me give you the verse. It talks about it in 2 Corinthians 5:17 that we're new creations in Christ. It says we've all received the reconciliation. And listen to what happens now. It says that God, who's reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, here it comes, and has given the ministry of reconciliation, has given us. Think about that. God the Father has given unto us the ministry of reconciliation. Every believer, not just pastors, every believer, loved one, reconciliation, meaning, okay, we have been given it. Hey, you can tell everyone, there is a way back to God. There is a way, and Jesus has made that way. Amen? And let me read it. That God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. He did that on the cross, John 3:16, okay? It says, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us, or placed it into your hands, the word of reconciliation. Think about that. Loved one, that's what happened at the tent ministry on Saturday with Dan and Stacy and whoever else was with them. What did they do? Jesus loves you. God sent his only son to take your place. Amen? We have the word of reconciliation, and we can cry out, you can be reconciled to God. There's a way back to God. Man, is that the greatest message in the world? You know, this fallen world that's going to just burn up one day and everything that is in it? Listen, reconciliation is an accomplished fact on God's side. However, it must be embraced on the human side. So how do we do that? God uses us to go into the world and tell others about it. It says, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. Here it comes. And we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Do you know that that is the cry of God to the entire world? Be reconciled to me. I've made a way. Put your hand in the hand of Christ. He'll bring you right to me. He's the way, the truth of life. No man comes to the Father except through him. Amen? I mean, we have that word of reconciliation. We have the message, loved one. Someone said this, a lost world is not on the doorstep of a powerless, loveless God, but it's on the doorstep of an apathetic, unconcerned church. Let that never be said about us. Amen? No, and I don't believe that's us. I can't believe that. Listen, reconciliation is one of the most important words in the Bible. Jesus paid our debt. Jesus, our sin debt. Jesus took our place. God punished him and did not punish you. You could put it this way. God punished himself. Why? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. You know, thank God. Thank God that we have been reconciled unto God. See, there's a way back to God. And you start thinking about sins. Listen to just a couple of verses. I know it's time to get out of here, but just listen. In Psalm 79:8, and don't worry up in the media booth, I didn't give you these scriptures. I just felt it all of a sudden. Bill, that's not on my, it's not on my list. I'm doing this to torment them. He cries and he says, oh, do not remember my former iniquities. Here's the good news. He doesn't. Do you understand? He doesn't. How about this one? He says, oh, let your tender mercies come speedily to me. You know what? They already have. Amen? It says, oh, God, help us, our God of salvation. He says, for the glory of your name, deliver us. He has delivered us. He has rescued us. Amen? He says, oh, provide atonement for our sins for your name's sake. He has. It's all done. Oh, the psalmist has written, if you, Lord, should mark iniquities, count my sins. Oh, and thank God he doesn't. Who could stand? What's the answer? No one could stand. Here it comes. But there is forgiveness with you. Reconciliation is the way back to God. Loved one, listen to me now. You online, listen to me. The prodigal son, what did he do? He took his inheritance. You know the story. It's one of the most famous stories in the Bible. And he left and went into a far country, and he spent it on prodigal living. He wasted his life. He wasted his inheritance. He went and lived for the world. You understand? He ended up where? In a pig pen, eating pig food, and he's a Jew. Do you understand? One day he came to himself. He said, I'm going to arise and I'm going to go to my father. And he says, oh, in my father's house, oh, there's bread for the servants enough, and I'm perishing with hunger. I'm going to rise and go to my father, and I'll say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven. I've sinned against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Just make me one of your hired servants. And he arose. He had his speech all ready to come to the father, to be reconciled. Do you understand? And he arose and he came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion. What a great word. And ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, oh, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, oh, listen, bring out the best robe. You put it on him. Put that ring on his hand. Put those sandals upon his feet. And bring out a fatted calf. We're going to kill it. We're going to eat. We're going to be merry. For this was my son was dead, but he's alive. He was lost, but he was found. Listen, that is reconciliation. Do you see that? And that's what happens when a person, you say, here you are. Do you know the Lord? Maybe you don't know the Lord. Listen to me. If you'll just take my hand, I'll put it in his hand. And here's what Jesus will do for you. If you don't know Christ, he'll take your hand and you will be reconciled with God the Father. And your name will be in the Lamb's Book of Life. And heaven will be your home, for this world is passing away. Amen. Heads are bowed. No one looking around. Every Christian praying. I know in this early service, we're normally all the family of God, but we may not be today. Maybe you're here, maybe you're visiting for the very first time and you've never asked Jesus Christ to be the Lord of your life. Listen, reconciliation means there's a way back to God. There's a way home. You can come home right now if you just lift your hand and say, Bill, pray for me. I don't know Jesus as my Lord. And I want to be saved. If that's you, you don't have to get out of your chair. I have to ask. I want to ask. I'm pleading with you to be reconciled to God if you're not. So if that's you, quickly put your hand up and put it right back down. Yes, God bless you. That's right. Anyone else say, Bill, that's me. I'll not call you to the altar. Don't worry about that. I just need a hand. That's your faith. Anyone else before I pray? Quickly. Those that lifted your hands, I want you to pray with me right now. Church, I want you to help me. Say, Father, I want to be reconciled. and you've made a way for me to be reconciled. His name is Jesus Christ. He paid for my sins. So right now, I confess with my mouth, Jesus, be my Lord. And I believe in my heart, Father, you raised him from the dead. So right now, save me. I believe with all of my heart, Lord. In Jesus' name, I'm saved. And the church says, amen. God is good. Amen. Let's stand to our feet this morning. God is so good. Man, you guys are just awesome. Amen. Those that lift your hands, listen to me now. Very important day. I'm going to be departing. Jesse's going to close us out with a song. I'm going to be departing over to the visitor center in the main lobby. I have a booklet waiting for you entitled Welcome to the Family of God. I want to give it to you. I want to meet you. I want to know your name, and I'm so thankful. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, you're listening live right now, you email me at info@loveneverfails.com and give me your address. That booklet will be mailed out to you first thing tomorrow morning. If you need prayer, when the song is over, there'll be people down here at the altar to pray for you. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. In Jesus' name, I love you dearly. You know.